This episode and a lot of the other content we produce would not be possible without the kind support of our patrons, especially our producers, Holly and Leanne. Thanks for your kindness. You can become a patron at patreon.com/explorations. That's Patreon, patreon.com/explorations. Victory is mine. Hey, if you listen to the if you listen to the frustration episode a couple episodes back when we were having problems with technology and bringing in guests, you'll know that I'm very happy that we've got recording started and that we've actually got a guest on the line, and that's pretty awesome. You're listening to the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. I'm Jeff Johnson coming to you live, which really means recorded,
but it's live right now.
It's live now.
It is.
And I'm getting all kinds of weird hand signals from Tasha. First she wants the micro headphones louder, and then she wants them
up. She's so needy, that Tasha.
Just what do you like? Say words.
Down, please.
Okay, there we go. And I'm here with Lisa Murphy, as always, Tasha Johnson.
Aloha.
And we've got on the phone with us, finally the technology's working.
Yay!
Kristen in Minnesota. Last time I saw you, Kristen, you were huge and on a spinatron in a parking lot.
A
spinatron. Nope. It's I got to tell people, this is like a sit and spin, except I make them and they're big and they're out of wood. And she was sitting in the parking lot spinning. And how was that? That was kind of brave of you.
I think I had a contraction as I was on the spinatron. I think, and I have not gotten back on it since.
You should right now. You should go get out of it right now, because you want to get that baby out of you.
Yeah, it would actually probably work.
Maybe you could get it written off by your insurance.
And so listeners, we were kind of hoping that Kristen would be giving birth live on this episode because she was having contractions yesterday. But it appears she was just faking it. I don't know what goes on with all the lady parts and everything. But apparently, she was just faking it, pretending. That's not true.
I was having. It lasted about 14 hours, and they were every 5 minutes for 14 hours, and then they just quit.
Shit. I'm glad I'm a dude. That would suck. I'm glad.
I'm having a sip of wine for you.
I could have a Corona.
Yeah,
or
that's what she was saying. She was hoping
today, beer helps.
That's not going to
happen today.
Well, maybe the day's not over. You got another 6 hours or so. That baby out and get a beer. And so we're talking to Kristen again because we like to bring in early learning. Not we're talking to her again, but again, we like to bring in early learning dragon slayers, people that are out in the world doing stuff in this profession. And so quickly, I'm going to try to recap your story, and then you're going to tell it to us. You're in a program. You're not completely happy. And then you decided, I'm going to start my own stuff.
Yeah.
And so tell us how that started and what's the journey, because we find it, I think listeners find it real valuable to hear other people's stories because that it's kind of empowering. So I'll shut up for a minute and you tell us where Lisa made a face at me because she doesn't think I can do it for a whole minute.
Okay.
So what's your story?
Well, it all started with Lisa Murphy. Kudos to you. You've definitely made a huge impact in my life as well as Jeff and Tasha. But I was teaching preschool in Alexandria, Minnesota at a private preschool, and went to Sauk Rapids, Minnesota and saw Lisa. She was the keynote speaker. And I was went to her first opening session, and then I had planned on going to some other different sessions, but
then you crashed the party.
Decided that I didn't want to go to those other sessions because I had so much fun listening to Lisa. So I stayed and I listened to her sessions for the rest of the day. And it made a huge, huge impact on me. And I think lot of the things that I took away from it, you know, I took back to the program that I was working in and tried to make some changes. But, you know, I was in a program where you had to follow with a director who's been the director for 35 years. She wasn't the director for 35 years. She taught there for however many years.
She'd been there forever.
She was the director for like 5 when I started there. So everything was kind of set in their ways, and it was very academic-based preschool, although they would not admit that. They said they were play-based, but my definition of play-based is way different than theirs now. And I think, you know, we did a lot of craft projects, and there was a lot of, you know, making paper plate fishes.
No! Which circles back to last January.
One of the biggest things that I took away from Lisa was that you don't have to follow, just because something, it's fish week, doesn't mean you have to make a paper plate fish. And so things that started to really get on my nerves, that I was expected to do things like that. So that was my second year of teaching preschool in this facility. And then I liked Lisa on Facebook, and through her page, she did a shout out to Jeff and Danita's Let Them Play book. And so I ordered it that day.
See the power that I have.
You're very powerful. You're a dream maker.
I'm a dream weaver.
You're a dream.
You are.
Yeah.
Oh, stop.
So I read the whole entire book, and then Jeff on Facebook and saw that they were doing a Let Them Play event in Minneapolis. Oh, it must have been, I don't even know, September 2012. I don't even remember. What year are we in? 2014. Yeah, it must have been 2012. It was my third year
teaching. We believe you.
At this preschool. And so we went to the Let Them Play event in Minneapolis, and that was another huge, like, life-altering day for me. And so when I got back from that, I knew I could not stay where I was at. And
that
so
happens.
At the time I was working at the Alexandria United Methodist Church as the Christian Education Director, because you can't really make a living part-time as a part-time preschool teacher. So
what?
I had to have another job. So I was working for this church. And the pastor came to me one day and said, "What do you think about starting a preschool here at church?" And I said, "I don't know. That would be fabulous, but how do you even do that?" And he's like, "I have no idea." So I started kind of researching and reading and looking things up online, and nothing kind of came from it. And so a few months later, he came to me again and said, "What do you think?" And I said, "I think it sounds amazing, but I have really no idea how to do it." And so through that conversation, we brought a couple other people on board who kind of, well, they didn't really know what they were doing either. And so I just started learning and researching and asking questions of everybody around me. And finally, the church approved a preschool to be housed in the church. So the church is letting me.
Oh, wait, time out for a minute. I got to ask a question.
Yeah.
Did you have, I mean, you're doing the whole planning thing, and it's got to get approved, and you're thinking, "Oh, I can't wait till this goes," and then they approve it. Did you have those, "Oh, crap, now I got to do this thing" moment?
No, I was so excited. But I think the moment I had was, "Oh, crap, what if the word gets out to the preschool that I'm currently working at, that I'm working on another, starting a competition?"
Yeah.
I think we got approved in April of 2013, it must have been. And I knew I was going to quit my job, obviously, teaching at this other preschool, but I was going to wait till the end of the year. But there was this one day, like, I just have had enough. And so I walked in and I just said, "This does not fit me anymore. And I will be done at the end of the school year." And so I was done. Word got out that I was opening a new preschool. She found out. So it was a really icky, weird situation working with the director and one of the other lead teachers at that point, because they knew that I was doing something on the side that would eventually maybe hurt their business.
And so what was that, what was that moment that was going, that, that day that you had, what was the thing? Do you remember what the thing was that put you over the edge?
I think it was a combination of knowing I was very unappreciated, and I think that there was a lot of feelings of one of the other lead teachers that I was working with. We were not working cohesively as a team at all, because she very much had her ways, and she wanted me, she was kind of trying to mold me to be like her, and I just wasn't having it. And I am a very, very driven go-getter person, and I have a lot of fabulous creative ideas, but they were never, they were always frowned upon, my ideas. So you can't do that.
Like,
that's
they don't,
unsafe.
They get,
I let the kids, we had to climb up the slide day, because you could not climb up the slide. That was a rule on the playground. You could not climb up the slide. Well, on the slide.
Whose rule was that?
Whose rule?
To climb up the slide day.
Whose rule was it?
What?
Whose rule was the no up the slide rule? Is that the director's rule or the co-teachers or who?
Directors. It was just kind of a, you don't let the kids go up the slide.
And what page was that on?
I have no idea. That's the whole thing. There was never a book that said you can and can't do this.
I was kind of
always just shooting blind. And then when I would do something wrong, it was, you know.
Wrong according to them.
The director. And yeah.
And so you jump ship.
When the kids would carry sticks, they weren't allowed to play with sticks.
They're so dangerous.
So when the kids would carry sticks, I, at first, you know, the first couple of years, of course, because I'm trying to please everybody around me, I would be, you have to, you know, leave the sticks on the ground. We can't play with sticks. And then my third year, when I knew I was going to be done, I, like, pretended I didn't even see him carrying the stick.
Good for you!
Because, the stick is just, it's the best toy. It's, you know, it's a wonderful thing. And
Did any of those children there. Lose eyes during that time period?
Or staff. Or staff. Did anybody in the building lose an eye?
No. And you want to know what's funny? I just took first aid and CPR on Wednesday. And the first aid instructor, we were talking about impalement. And I said, she's been a paramedic for 15 years and in the emergency room. And I said, have you ever seen anybody ever impaled by a stick? And she said, no. And she kind of looked at me weird.
Can I get that in writing?
I have to know this. Has anybody ever gotten their eye poked out by a stick? And she said, no. A protractor. She did have somebody that got their eye poked out by a protractor, but not a stick.
Yeah. Which we're not really using in a toddler room.
Yes.
Math is dangerous.
Math will kill you.
Geometry will just kill you. Should play with sticks, down with geometry.
No, for real. Here's what I would be thinking. Well, what I am thinking. Get this in writing from this woman.
From the paramedic?
Thing? No, from the paramedic. I want it in writing.
I should.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, you got other things maybe on your mind today, but, yeah, you know.
And this is a question I've been asking a lot, too, because a lot of people ban all those kind of things, the up the slide and the sticks, because somebody could sue us. And so at events for, like, the last 6 months, I've been asking, how many of your programs have ever been sued before? And
Big fat nada.
I've had one hand go up in six-ish months that's hundreds and hundreds of people. And so the thing is, we're scared about a lot of stuff that's not a thing to be scared of. Okay, so we got off topic. And so you're there and you're fed up, and then did you when you quit, did you pee on somebody's desk or something? How'd you leave?
Oh, I wish. No, I didn't.
I just can see, like, this, you walking around and, like, lifting your leg and just like, pissing on stuff.
You may be wondering why.
I might do that when I leave on Monday. Just, you know, your cat pissed in my bag the last time I was here. I'll just piss
that was
on
two. That was two times ago. You may be wondering why I'm peeing on your desk. Well, I happen to be giving my notice. Good day. Good day, sir.
Good day, sir.
Oh, my goodness. That's disgusting.
So did they? Sorry,
wear a skirt, you know, it'd be okay.
When you gave your notice, I'm curious, and said, you know, I've outgrown here and it's time for me to move on. Was there any pushback, any resistance, any conversation, or did they just kind of take it and let you go?
They just kind of took it and go and let me go. She said, "Well, is there anything, you know, that we can do differently?" And I I was like,
really?
"No." Because even if you say you're going to do something different, you're not going to do something different. You're a program that hasn't changed. You haven't evolved. And I don't know what's next for me, but I know it's not here. And I know that there's other things that are out there for me. So I took a huge leap of faith, knowing that if this preschool, like, it was like ground zero. There was no, I mean, I hadn't applied for a license for the preschool yet. I had no money for it. I did not have any idea if it was going to be owned by the church or if it was going to be owned by me or if it was going to be owned by a group of people. I had no clue.
There's so much businessy stuff going on we did that. It's starting from nothing and building something. And Lisa and I have both been through that, and Tasha, and it's just building something from the ground up it's so daunting.
Mm-hmm. It is, especially when you have never done it before. Yes. You don't have anybody with you. I had nobody who was helping me. And so it was really scary, and it was like really scary not knowing when I was ever going to see a paycheck again. And so that, I think, was the hardest part, is that my husband and I, struggled for 6+ months until I started getting paid. And the only way I started getting paid is I have these fabulous grant writing ladies who I came upon. And one of them came into my office one day. I was bawling, and she said, "What's the matter?" And I said, "We have no money, and we are going into debt very quickly because I can't do this." And it was probably about 6 months after I had quit my other job. And so she said, "You know what? I'm a wordsmith. I can write a grant. Let's get some grants going here." So she started writing grants, and she actually ended up getting we got two big grants. We got a $26,000 grant to pay me for the first 9 months.
This is before, Lisa, this is before the program, getting paid before the program even opens, which is freaking awesome.
What does getting paid mean? No, I'm just kidding. I'm being a wise ass. You mean you get paid?
So we got the $26,000 grant, and that came through the United Methodist Church, the Conference of Minnesota. And we got another $35,000 grant from the Otto Bremmer Foundation. I don't know if you're familiar with Bremmer Banks. Do they have those in Iowa?
No, but I know.
It's a Minnesota bank.
It's a Minnesota bank.
Yes.
It's a Minnesota bank. So anyway, it's a nonprofit banking system in Minnesota. So all of their profits, well, they don't make a profit, but they give away all of the money that they make in interest and things off their loans. So we got that to start up. And then, going back to how, like, the daunting, the how are we going to create this? I've always been researching and reading, and a lot of the books that you guys post and the author that you guys post to your pages, I buy those books immediately and I read them cover to cover. And I kind of realized, have you read The Last Child in the Woods?
Oh, yeah, yes. Wonderful book.
Okay. So that was a life-changing book for me, and I realized kids do not get outside enough. And one of the statistics, we have teamed up with an organization called Nature Explore. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they have tons of statistics that they have, but one of them is that we spend 90% of our time indoors now. And so taking that information and how gross that sounds, we need to get our kids outdoors, and they learn best when they're outside. And especially 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, they thrive outside, being able to use their whole bodies to learn and play. So took that, realized we don't have any programming like that around here, and we need that. And so the whole nature-based idea kind of evolved from that, and that's what I went with. And so the name of the program is called Butterfly Hill Nature Preschool.
Butterfly
and,
Hill?
Yeah. What?
Butterfly Hill, right?
Yes, Butterfly Hill.
Is it after
Hill.
Julia?
And we're a nature-based, play-based, child-centered program. And that was another very kind of scary thing to introduce to our community, because our community is very, the parents are huge into athletics and organized activities and huge into, like, getting your child above everybody else. It's always a race to the top, unfortunately, in our town. And I think, you know, that's all over the country. But parents in our community, and there's a handful that are very educated who know what play-based learning is and what is healthy for young children. But there are a lot who just do what everybody else does. And so the preschools here in town, they're very, I look at them as academic-based. They might say something different, but if you put it up against our program is going to be a true play-based program. We open in September, so we don't have any students yet, but we started thinking that we would have two classes of 16 children, so we were hoping for 32 children to enroll, and we have currently filled 72 spots.
And you don't open till September.
Right.
And am I looking at your Facebook page, the Butterfly Hill with the butterfly-shaped twig with leaves?
Yes. That's us.
Yes. And for what it's worth, from a marketing point of view, this sends the perspective here is that you are open and that you are successful, and that's good.
Good.
Yeah, and
yes.
That's having that many kids waiting to walk in the door that first day is great. And we met a hunk of your staff in Hutchinson a month or so ago. A hunk.
Yeah.
A hunk. Maybe that's not. I don't know what a gaggle of staff, a flock of staff, I don't know what the right terminology is. A team, maybe a team. A hug of staff.
Oh, staff.
That's what they should call the staff. A hug of staff. That would be. Anyway, they sounds like you got some. Lisa, she didn't just barf.
I'm gagged.
You should be nice and kind and emotional like I am. But anyway, it looks like you got a good team put together, huh?
Yeah, I'm really, really excited for our team. I think. I've never been the director of a program before. I take that back. I was the director of the Christian education program here at church. But I didn't have actual staff that worked with me. And so I'm very, very nervous. I think that's the biggest thing that I'm nervous for, is to have staff. Because I know that when I was working for somebody and I wasn't quite happy where I was at, it was just like negative turmoil all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and we'd sit and we'd talk bad about our director. And I'm like, what if they do that to me?
Well, they might.
and they might. But the thing is, we did an episode or so ago, we were talking about community and about how it's important to have a team that's really a team, that staff that get along together. And from what I saw in that training a month or so ago, whenever it was in Hutchinson, you've been working hard on that already before you open, is getting people comfortable with each other. And I think that's a good step towards success, is being able to have them good with each other before the doors open that first day.
Yes. Yes, it is a very good step. And I, you know, I lose sleep at night over, like, oh my gosh, how do I need to go to, like, school for this? Do I need to go back to college to learn how to be that person? Or is it just something that I'm going to learn as I go?
Okay,
and
can you hear me right now?
I can.
Okay, so I want you to go get a copy of Deb Curtis and Margie Carter's book. And actually, Jeff, talk to her for a minute. I'm going to Google the actual title.
Okay, Lisa's going to look that up.
Deb Curtis and Margie Carter.
I want to tell you kind of how our organization is set up now, because I kind of skipped over that part. So, you know, me not knowing how this is ever going to work, I had to do a few presentations in front of the church members so that they would run with the idea and get excited about the idea of having this preschool in their building.
Scared? Were you scared?
Yes. I had to actually get up in front of the congregation during church on Sunday.
And you were scared?
A 15-minute presentation. And right before I went on, I went to your podcast and I listened to the Gigs one. I'm trying to rile myself up and rally. but I had to do two presentations that morning, and I've probably done 30 to 50 presentations this year about the preschool in the community for parents and for church members and for community members and service club organizations, newspapers and radio. And, those first ones were by far the scariest. Now it's not scary at all, because I'm so...
Because you're so good.
Obviously, you got people giving you tens of thousands of dollars. You're getting paid before the program even opens.
In fact, we should just do what she's doing.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We should. you should be writing the freaking book. The books Lisa pulled up are The Art of Awareness and The Visionary Director by Deb Curtis and Margie Carter. And those are going to be real good tools.
Huge tools.
And the thing is, I mean, you might just grow into it, and you might decide there's stuff you need to go grab a class here and there. And that's just the reality of it both Lisa and I have been through this, and that's just part of it. And so I gotta go back. We're starting to run out of time. We're almost hitting half an hour already.
Time, oh my God.
Yeah. Time.
Okay. Well, and then just
have that baby.
We're run by a board of directors. We're a nonprofit organization now through the IRS. So that's fabulous. So we're going to start to write even more grants. And I have, like, I would say probably 30 volunteers who are helping me with this whole entire process now.
Good for you.
We need a board member. We need a board member. We need a board member.
How in the hell did I do this?
Well, like, and
you opened your mouth.
Yes.
That's what happened.
Right.
You did, and this is something we go back to all the time in episodes, is you did the scary thing, even though it was the scary thing. And that's the hardest part.
Yes.
It's putting yourself out there. But I want to go back to that before we wrap up, is how did you make yourself keep doing all those scary things?
I don't know. That's just my personality. I'm a risk taker, huge. And it probably drives my family and my husband crazy. But that's just who I am. And I think, I mean, there's a lot of other crap that I've had to do that I never thought I would be doing, like QuickBooks. I mean, I'm a preschool teacher. I am not a math person. And I had to learn how to use QuickBooks, and it's awful, and it's disgusting. But
pause.
My board of directors is making me do it, so they're kind of pushing me and driving me to do things that I at first, like, put on the brakes and say, no way, I'm not doing that. But then they say, we're paying you to do that, so you have to. So I suck it up and I do it, and I do it just fine. I do it well, but it's all of those. I mean, there's been a lot of anxiety, a lot of learning, a lot of stress this past year. And
then you keep moving forward.
I do.
And I think
the biggest reason that I move forward is because I know all of those families who have registered. And a huge part of, I think, talking about play-based programming and nature-based learning and trying to get the community jazzed up about that, we thought, how are we going to get parents aware of why they should choose our preschool over somebody else's? So when we did registration in February, we required parents to come in to a informational meeting. I held like 10 of them throughout January. And the parents had to come in, and I basically verbally vomited on them about play-based learning, child-led learning, and nature-based learning, and, like, made them listen to me. And almost every single family, I think I had 70 families come through those parent information meetings, and all but a handful registered.
That's awesome.
So, good for you.
We're the only program in town who requires that. Every other program, people are registering at other programs because their friends registered there, or their sister's kids went there,
or it's
closest
online
to my house, it's the nicest looking on the outside and the inside.
It smells good.
So, anyway, that was a huge part of our registration process, and the families that we have know why their kids are going here. They know their kids are going to get dirty. They know their kids are going to play with sticks. They know that there may be some tree climbing. They know that they will never have a craft project come home. They know these things before they are even setting foot into our space. So I think it's really exciting because the families that are coming here are so excited. And we actually have had... I have had families call and say, I want to get on the waiting list for 2015. And I said, we don't have a waiting list for 2015 yet. It's going to kind of be a first come, first serve thing. And again, we'll require the families to come in so I can pound information into their head.
Yeah.
But it's been a really, really eye-opening experience for everybody involved, and I think we're going to change a lot of lives, and we're going to change this community through this preschool.
And it sounds like you've changed and grown and got a lot braver and more confident through the process, huh?
Yeah,
that's freaking awesome. And this is what we want. Sharing this story, I'm just hoping there's one listener out there who says, okay, I've been thinking about doing the scary thing myself. And this is sharing your story is going to give them permission to do that in their own lives, whatever the situation is there. And that's why we love sharing these kind of things. It's time to wrap up, but we're going to be recording it in January. We might want to touch base again and find out how things are going. If you decided to run away scared after that first day, well, you don't know, because you're going to have a brand new baby and the program's going to open. You might go, and run off. I hope.
I'll probably freak out.
I hope not. And because baby will be born by then, and you'll have gotten to have that corona, so it'll be okay.
Oh, but, yes, it will. And then I can go home that first day of school and have that corona, and it'll feel... everything will be good then.
Yeah. When baby comes... call me and sneak a phone into the delivery room we want a live pod the delivery of your baby.
Jeff, birth pod.
Everything
he wants. If that doesn't happen, at least post
at least
a picture.
Name
it
Jeff.
Yeah, well,
no,
that would be weird. But yeah, do that.
I wouldn't.
Bar and grill, baby bar and grill.
Oh goodness!
No, that wouldn't be right either. Maybe post a picture on the Facebook page.
I will.
That might be a good
idea. Yeah, and you can I should tell anybody who has questions about how this whole process started and has gotten going, they can contact me on Facebook.
Oh, that'd be great too, because I know there are people out there in the process of starting their own programs, and so any way we can build a community that way would be wonderful too.
Definitely. And I'm hoping to get to UnCon, but it's a 12-hour drive.
Yeah, but with all the kids, you drop the husband off with the kids for a couple hours and you goof around. I think it'd be great.
It's all downhill.
Is Springfield near St. Louis?
Springfield, Missouri, and St. Louis. I mean, they're in the same state.
Well, I know that.
No,
I lived
St. Louis,
in Missouri,
until about Springfield,
fourth grade.
Missouri.
Springfield,
and so
Illinois.
There's a
Springfield, Missouri
restaurant
is a place
called
too.
Lambert's. Have you heard of it? It's the home of the Throat Rolls. So it's country style dining. But when the rolls come out of the kitchen,
you put your hand up in the air and they throw them
at you.
There's one in Branson, too, I think.
Oh, heck, you come to UnCon, I'll throw shit at you.
Okay.
If you want stuff to be thrown at you, that's good. Hey, it's time to wrap it up. We're at like 35 minutes, but thanks for your time. And you listeners out there, do the scary thing. Take a deep breath and do the scary thing, and you can make change happen. You can be an early learning dragon slayer. Thanks, Kristen. Thanks for joining us.
Congratulations.
We'll be back next week, and we can't wait to see pictures of the baby. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you did awesome. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.